This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Now I am moving on to the next section, which is some discussion about the word iwaj, which is also a really cool conversation. So let's talk about that. Al-awaj in Arabic, there are two words. Al-awaj actually means al-in'itaf. Turning or curvature or even sympathy, because when you are leaning towards someone, then you're kind of you're biased towards them, you know, you incline towards them, and that's the imagery of someone who's bent one way, who's biased one way, who's leaning one way. So al-in'itaf is from its figurative meanings. Fi ma kana qa'iman. So curvature that comes in something that was originally straight. Iwaj is something that was originally straight and eventually deteriorated. Like a tree that's getting old and it's bending, its bark is bending. Okay? Or a piece of metal that was straight, a beam that was straight, and over time it deteriorated. Or a wall, this is no accident, a wall will come up later on in the surah that used to be straight and then it started getting bent. Allah is talking about Musa alayhi salam fixing a wall in a town that used to be straight. يُرِيدُ أَن يَنْقَضَّ فَأَقَامَهُ. It wants to tip over, but he set it straight again. قَيِّمًا أَقَامَهُ. There's a word connection there too. Right? So there's a visual example of setting something straight. Now, then كَالرُّمْحِ وَالْحَائِطِ. Just like a spear, an old spear that gets bent. So, or like an arrow or something that gets bent. It's no longer good for use. وَالْحَائِطِ, or a wall that's bending. وَكُلُّ مَكَانَ قَائِمًا يُقَالْ فِيهِ الْعَوَجِ. And anything that used to be originally straight and then starts bending, you say that it has an awaj. وَيُقَالْ شَجَرُتُكَ فِيهَا عَوَجٌ شَدِيدٌ. Your tree has a really serious awaj. Meaning your tree, my friend, is tipping over and it's going to crash on my house, so you need to get rid of that tree. It's got an awaj with a fatha. وَالْعِوَجُ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَنْ لَا تَسْتَوِيَ. An awaj in the land is when land is uneven. When land is uneven, then it's called iwaj in the land. وَعِوَجُ الطَّرِيقِ وَعَوَجُهُ زَيْغُهُ. When you have iwaj in a road, that means a curvature in a road. Like a road, you know, like there's like straight roads, you can see miles and miles ahead. And then there are roads that curve and bend. They have a awaj in them or a iwaj in them. Their deviation, it's also called a iwaj. This is where it gets really interesting. وَمْرَأَةٌ عَوْجَاءَ إِذَا كَانَ لَهَا وَلَدْ تَعُوجُ إِلَيْهِ لِتَرْضِعَهُ. A woman is called awja. One of the descriptions of a mother is awja. When she leans over to feed her baby. She stands up straight, but when she's feeding her baby out of love, she leans over and she's feeding her baby. So that, and that actually goes back to having a bias, because a mother has a loving bias towards her child, and the expression of her love is in how she leans over. This usage, and then I'll give you some more. وَالْعِوَجْ بِكَسْرِ الْعَيْنِ وَفَتْحِهَا وَبِفَتْحِ الْوَاوِ إِنْحِرَافُ جِسْمٍ عَنِ الشَّكْلِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. So it's basically of any figure, anything physical that actually deviates from its original shape. Something that gets bent out of shape basically has awaj. That's a good way to put it. ضِدُّ الْإِسْتِقَامَةِ. It is the opposite of something that is straight. يُطْلَقُ مَجَازًا عَلَى الْإِنْحِرَافِ عَنِ الصَّوَابِ وَالْمَعَانِ الْمَقْبُولَةِ الْمُسْتَحْسِنَةِ. It is also used figuratively to refer to things when you deviate from correct definitions or the correct opinion. Like, you know how politicians in a very subtle way change their opinion? Because they want to change their opinion because they're looking bad in the polls, but they don't want to come out and say I was entirely wrong either. So they have a little wordplay that would be an iwaj in their speech, okay? So, and then some said that iwaj and awaj, there's a difference between them. That iwaj, the one used in the Quran, is actually figurative and awaj is literal. But actually they're both used literally, like Zamakhshari commented, أَلَمْ يَعْرِفْ قَوْلَ اللَّهِ فَيَذَرُوهَا قَاعًا صَفْصَفًا لَا تَرَى فِيهَا عِوَجًا وَلَا أَمْتًا. You're not going to see, when Allah destroys the earth and He renders the earth flat, you will not see any iwaj, meaning any bump going up, and لو أمت or أمتًا, and nothing going down. And no ups and downs will be left on the earth when Allah is done leveling the earth. That's an ayah in the Quran. So Allah is referring, He's making reference to that and saying, look, iwaj is figurative in this ayah. Because when Allah says, Allah didn't put any iwaj in this Quran, what's He saying? The ideas of this book are not going to be altered or tampered with, right? Now, this is a hadith in Bukhari, which is actually pretty beautiful, and is connected directly to our conversation. عن يسار بن عطاء قال, لقيت عبد الله بن عمر بن العاص رضي الله عنهما قلت أخبرني عن صفة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في التوراة قال أجل He says, tell me about the qualities of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that are described in Tawrat. A sahabi asked another. He said, okay, I'll tell you. I know some stuff, I'll tell you. Wallahi innahu lamawsufun fit tawrati bi ba'di sifatihi fil Qur'an. I tell you, I swear to God, he's no doubt about it. He's been described in the Qur'an with some of the same qualities that have occurred in the Qur'an. So Tawrat and Qur'an have the same qualities described of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya ayyuhan nabi inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadhiran. He quoted the ayah, O Messenger, beloved Messenger, no doubt about it, we in fact are the ones that have sent you down as a witness, as a giver of good news and a giver of warning. Wa harzun lil ummiyin. Now he's going to the Torah definition. Wa harzun lil ummiyin. And he will be a refuge for the people who are unlettered. He'll be a protection for the people who are unlettered. Anta abdi wa rasuli. So the Torah is speaking now, you are my servant and my messenger. Meaning the way the Torah speaks about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sammaytuka al-mutawakkil. I have named you al-mutawakkil, meaning the one who places his trust. One of the qualities of the Messenger that he relies on, Allah Azza wa Jalla. Laysa bi fadlin wa la ghaleez. You are not harsh, you are not hard-hearted. You're not tough and mean to others. Wa la sakhabin fil aswaq. And you are not loud and obnoxious in the markets. Wa la yadfa'u bis sayyi'ati sayyi'a. And he does not respond to something evil that has been done to him with another evil. Meaning he responds to evil with good. Okay? Walakin ya'fu wa yaghfir. However, he forgives and pardons. وَلَنْ يَقْبِضَهُ اللَّهُ. This is the part that, the reason I quoted this hadith. وَلَنْ يَقْبِضَهُ اللَّهُ حَتَّى يُقِيمَ بِهِ الْمِلَّةَ الْعَوْجَاءِ. And Allah will not seize him. Allah will not take him away from this people, from the Meccans, from the Arabs, until he sets straight by means of them the nation that was عَوْجَاء. الْمِلَّةَ الْعَوْجَاءِ. عَوْجَاء is from the same origin as what? عَوَجْ. So the nation that Rasulullah ﷺ came to is being called a nation that is awja, a nation suffering from iwaj. A nation that has the quality of iwaj. And his job is to take their iwaj and what? Make it straight. Now what does that mean? That means, because iwaj means something that was originally straight and was bent out of shape, yes? So now what does it mean? By the way, bi an yaqulu la ilaha illallah, so that they can say la ilaha illallah once again. He will straighten them out so they come back to la ilaha illallah. Wa yaftahu biha a'yunan umyan wa adhanan. Summan wa quluban ghulfan. And Allah will, or by means of that messenger, by means of that nation, Allah will open up eyes that were blind and ears that were deaf and hearts that were covered up. In other words, once He wakes up this ummah, they will wake up the world. Once He straightens this ummah out, they will straighten out the world. That's Tawrat. He's citing Tawrat. Now, so this hadith, when you study Lisan al-Arab, his commentary is really awesome on this hadith. He says, "Al-millat al-awja yani millat Ibrahim ala Nabiina sallallahu alaihi wasallam, alati ghiyarat al-Arab an istiqamatiha." He's saying this is actually a reference to the nation of Abraham. The nation of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The Arabs were children of Ismail, and through Ismail of Ibrahim alayhi salam, which means these were originally people of Tawheed, and that Tawheed got bent out of shape into turned into shirk. And so he's saying that this legacy has to be brought back straight. So Tawrat is making reference to the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there to revive the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam, which is actually a very powerful theme in the entire Quran. The Rasul's role sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to revive the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So this is about al-milla al-awja. Now, before I go to my final commentary on this ayah, which is my favorite part of this ayah, what I wanted to share with you is this concept, one more time, just so you keep it in mind, كَامِلًا فِي ذَاتِهِ مُكْمِلًا لِغَيْرِهِ. Something perfect in and of itself, and something as a result of being perfect in and of itself, that if you adhere to it, you are striving towards perfection yourself. The self before others, right? The self before others. So we're in the كَامِلًا فِي ذَاتِهِ discussion. We are in the internal perfection of the Book of Allah. That's what we're talking about currently. One idea that Allah did not allow for any iwaj in it, what could that imply? What are the philosophical meanings of that? That's the last conversation I want to have with you. But the strength with which Allah says this, that's what I want to describe to you now. Look at these words. وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا. And I translate, and He did not put any crookedness where? Any crookedness in it. But the word in Arabic is not lam. What is it? So how come he didn't say walam yaj'al fihi aiwajan. Right? The question occurs, why not say fi? Which you would translate then as, he did not put any crookedness in it. Remember I told you it's a poor translation, like there's stuff missing? So why is there a lam here, not a fi? You know? Or you can't just say, well, lam means fi. No, it's not lamataki. No. One day. So duna fihi, Ibn Ashur says duna fihi li anna al-ikhtisas yunasib al-iwaj al-ma'nawi baynama fi lil-zarfiyya. He says lam is used here because it is figurative usage. If you used fi, that would be literal usage of a place that has a crookedness in it. So he wanted to be, Allah wanted to express it figuratively, that's why he used the fi. But Dr. Samir Ra'i, may Allah protect him, he said something so beautiful that I wrote the entire thing, or copied the entire thing into my notes, and I'm going to read it off to you. إِذْ قُلْنَا لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لِلْفِيلِ قَرَنَيْنِ وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لِلْبَقَرَةِ خُرْطُومًا يعني هكذا هي ابتداء في أصل خلقتها أو خلقتها في قد تكون بعدها. Listen carefully. If Allah says that He did not put horns for an elephant, He did not place horns for lamb, an elephant, or He did not put a trunk for a cow. For, not in. For a cow. That actually suggests that these two creatures have no possibility of these two things to begin with. When you say about a child or about a man that Allah did not put a left hand on him, he does not have a left hand, Allah didn't give him a left hand, actually means the expectation originally was he could have had a left hand. But the lam suggests something that in its inherent qualities wouldn't have the possibility of something. Allah is not just saying He gave us the book and then made sure there wouldn't be any crookedness in it. Actually, the book was given, the book is in a state where in and of itself, it's not even possible for it to have any crookedness by design. Ibtida'an, originally speaking. Okay? Fi qad takunu ba'daha. Had the word fi been used, there's a possibility that no possibility of deviation is something that occurs later. Like, you know, you have a project that's imperfect and eventually it gets perfect and you're like, no more need for improvement. Finally, it's the final, like your drafts. When you write an essay, you have drafts. And there is iwaj fihi. There's fihi. But when your answer to a question is perfect already, to begin with, there's no room for improvement, then you would use lahu. You see? So the fact that the Qur'an does not need an editorial process, does not need a revision, does not need for someone to come and say, we need to revisit this book and figure out what we can take out and what we can put in. We need to reinterpret, we need to reconstruct, omit and add. There's no room for that at all to begin with. By the way, is this a conversation in contemporary times? We need to revisit the Qur'an, we need to rethink about some surahs, maybe they shouldn't be there. You know, after all, children are memorizing it. That conversation. The response to that is in لَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا. So, لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لِلْفِيلِ قَرَنَيْنِ ابْتِدَاءً فِي أَصْلِ خِلْقَتِهِ فَهَذَا أَبْعَدُ فِي النَّفِي. So Allah saying, just like the elephant was not given two horns, He did not install for it, provide for it the possibility of two horns, negating it with a lam like that is actually much stronger. وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا أَصْلًا. It's like Allah is saying, to begin with, originally, in essence, it does not have any possibility for improvement or any possibility of deviation. وَلَوْ قَالَ فِيهِ يَحْتَمِلُ بَعْدَهَا لِأَنَّهُ حَتَّى فِي يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ قَالْ لَا تَرَى فِيهَا عِوَجًا وَلَا أَمْتًا. Look at it. Look, compare this to the ayah where Allah talks about iwaj, about the day of judgment, about the earth. He says, you will not find in the earth any iwaj on judgment day. Any bump on judgment day, nor any ditch on judgment day. Wait, why fi? Was the earth always like that? No, originally it had bumps and ditches. And then eventually this lack of iwaj was there. So when iwaj is not permanent, then fi. When the denial of iwaj is not permanent, then fi. When the denial of iwaj is permanent, then lam. And similarly, قَالَ فِيهَا وَلَمْ يَقُلْ لَهَا فِي يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ يَوْمَ إِذٍ يَتَّبِعُونَ الدَّاعِي لَا عِوَجَ لَهُ. The day on which they will all be following the caller. You know when the siren is blown, and everybody will rise and they will follow the call? There's no possibility of any iwaj in it. لا عوج له, not fihi, له. It's not like there was a first attempt, it didn't come out, and then people said, needs improvement, let's try a trial. Test two, microphone test, mic test. It's not going to be like that. لا عوج له. There's no possibility of it being anything short of perfect to begin with. في أصل خلقته إذن فيه يدل على أنه جاء بعد ذلك وله أبعد في النفي ابتداء. So fi would mean that some kind of the perfection came later on, and lahu would mean it was always perfect to begin with. So that's a very important note. So this is what I want to conclude with. When Allah says لم يجعل له عوجا, He's talking about the Quran also not losing, we not losing the Quran. Its meaning, its message, its strength, its impact on us will be maintained. People say, well, the Quran impacted the Sahaba in such a special way. Actually, by Allah saying this book has no iwaj, its power has no iwaj, its effect on the human heart has no iwaj. So you can have the same impact on your heart that the Sahaba had on theirs. You can. It's possible. Because the book has no iwaj. It's not like its effect has deteriorated. And it's not like Allah is no longer putting a ruh inside the body. It's the same ruh, it comes from the same source. It's the same heart that Allah created. It's not a different heart. You know, so every generation has an opportunity, which is why, you know, in the ayat later on, Surah Al-Waqi'ah, we find As-Sabiqoon, As-Sabiqoon, As-Sabiqoon. You know, there are Sabiqoon in every generation. Every generation has their own Sabiqoon. Every generation has its own race. Who's going to be first in that race? So we're not just old Sabiqoon or Sahaba, and now we're not Sabiqoon anymore. Actually, every generation will have their own Sabiqoon because the Quran has the opportunity to heal and mend and rectify and correct every heart. Every heart. So its impact hasn't diluted. That's one of the first implications of Allah not putting iwaj in the book. The other is, you know, this is also really important. Iwaj is about in'itaf. Like, you know, when you lean towards something out of love, when do people leave values? Because when they think values are too harsh. When they think that the rules that you're following or what you think is right and wrong is, you're too tough. Take a softer stance. Take a softer stance. You know, go easy on people. And so iwaj happens in many cases because of love or because of softness or because of tenderness. Allah is setting a tone in this surah, which is a very important tone to understand. When it comes to the values of the Quran, when it comes to the truths that the Quran is explaining, there is no softness. There is no niceness. There's no kindness. There's no goizi. There is love in the Quran. There is softness and tenderness in the Quran. It's a very intimate book. It has a very intimate relationship with its slaves. It does. But not when it comes to certain things. What are those things? It's truth, it's message, it's values. What is wrong whether you like it or not. Whether somebody's going to be offended by it or not. Whether somebody's going to cry about it or not. Whether somebody's going to hate it or not. Whether you're going to get in trouble with your family or not, it's still wrong. That's not going to change. وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا. In other words, you know, look at the contrast. I want you to appreciate the contrast. The nicest human being who ever lived. Answer the question. Rasulullah. The nicest human being who ever lived. His enemies vouch for him. Makkah is not a nice place before Islam. Makkah is not a nice place. And yet, and these people have very choice words. If you study classical poetry, you know that they know how to, sailors don't know how to cuss like these guys do. But when they talk about Rasulullah, they only have the nicest words. This is the nicest human being ever. And yet, he's been given the Quran, which if you just study even the worst translation of the Quran, even the one I don't recommend, or the most I don't recommend, if you study those translations, what's going to be the first impression you get? This book is straight up like, these people who disbelieve, or this is going to happen to them, don't be scared of them, bring your evidence, you know. Isn't it? قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَتُغْلَبُونَ وَتُحْشَرُونَ إِلَىٰ جَهَنَّمْ وَبِئْسَ الْمِهَادِ. Tell the disbelievers, you are going to be dominated and then taken to hell. What a horrible place that is. Does that sound nice? No. So the nicest human being that ever lived, smile on his face, softness of voice, you would hear him and your heart would melt, is being commanded to recite these ayat. And, you know, when you're nice and you have a nice demeanor, don't you have to take into consideration the feelings of people you're talking to? And if you are going to use harsh words, maybe you think to yourself, maybe this isn't the right time. Maybe I should talk to you about this later. Or maybe I should find some softer words to tell you this that I want to tell you. Does the messenger, the question is, does the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have a choice in the words he uses to share with the leader of Quraysh? You know, every inkling in your body will tell you, maybe I shouldn't say this. This is going to be offensive. Every inkling in your body. But Allah's revelation has come, and he has to say it like it is. There is no iwaj in it, and the first demonstration of that is this man, who is only associated with the softest of softness, has to speak this word, which doesn't take away from his softness. We now have this confusion. Our softness in approach to people is being confused with the message itself. We have to go easy on people. We have to go easy on people, which, you know what that means for a lot of people? Don't tell them that it's wrong. Don't tell them what they're doing is wrong. Their feelings might get hurt. You have to take your time and go easy on people and not, hey, you should go easy on people. And you should have the kindest demeanor. But boy, oh boy, if you for a moment allow for a little bit of iwaj in what the right thing is and what the wrong thing is, and you don't stand by it, then that just, it just demonstrates that you've furthered from the book. And that's when you appreciate the word abd in this ayah. A free person has a choice in what they say. A free person chooses, this is what I'm going to say, this is how I'm going to say it. This is going to be politically correct, this is not going to be politically correct. You understand? When you, I just had the chance to meet the Turkish president. I'm not going to say, hey, what's up, yo? Turkey, my favorite kind of food. Yeah, how's your relationship with Hungary? I'm not going to make cheesy jokes with him. Because, you know, how long is Thanksgiving in your country? I'm not going to do that. I speak a little Turkish, gobble, gobble. I'm not going to do that. You know, Ibn Shaitan will come and do aswasa. But I won't do. You know why? Because this is a respectful setting. And I really admire the guy. And I'm going to have a conversation with him about, you know, what we can do for youth in Turkey. Or how we can spread the, you know, Arabic education. Or something. Right? I'm going to consider what to say. But you know, the Messenger, when the Quran comes down, when he has to recite it, who he has to recite it to, and what he has to recite, he has no choice in the matter. None whatsoever. Actually, because of the ayah yaqussu, the ayat in which the Messenger is described to do in doing qass of the ayat, or qissa of the ayat, it even suggests the tone he uses to recite the ayat is not up to him. The tone he uses is not up to him. The intonations he uses is not up to him. He has to recite them the way Allah wants him to. Because you know, you could say something harsh or something people don't want to hear, but have a softer tone. Like, you know, when kids don't want to answer your question. What did you do your homework? What did you say? Say it clearly. I haven't done it yet. When you... You're going to say it, but you say it in a softer tone. Maybe it won't have the same impact. You understand? But the Messenger has to say it like it is. Say it like it is. Say what is and how it is and how it's to be said right there in people's face. And there are so many occasions where you study the ayat of Quran and what he has to say. What he has is so, it's like you would have to be a slave, complete slave, to give in to that demand and speak about the Quran that way, or speak the words that way. Because you know, the ultimate control, you know, is on your tongue. Like, you're such a slave that you can't say a word out of place, a sentence out of place. You can't delay it, you can't wait and say it. La, you know, وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا. So the first demonstration, the book itself is perfect, but man, the way it was delivered, the way it was delivered, who the ayat were coming to, who the Messenger was talking to, and when he was talking, that's the demonstration of وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا. By the way, there are some places where the Messenger is even reciting ayat that go against himself. That's going to come in the surah. Is it easy for you to know that Allah is giving you words that might put you in trouble and to say them? By the way, let me take it even a step further, which is for our problem, not the Messenger's problem at all, because he's abd. That's the height of humility. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have an ego problem. If I make a mistake, If I make a mistake, and I do, easy for me to come up and say I made a mistake? Or hard? It's hard. By the way, the more public you become, the harder it becomes. The harder it becomes to admit your mistake. It's difficult. Ustad Adam is teaching you, he makes a grammar mistake. You know, even though he'll admit it, and I'll admit it if I make a grammar mistake or a vocabulary mistake or I forget a word or I, you know, whatever it may be. Is it embarrassing? It's embarrassing, right? And when you're embarrassed, what does that mean? What does your embarrassment contradict inside of you? Your pride. Your self-respect, your sense of self-worth is being challenged when you have to admit your mistake, isn't it? And admitting your mistake, if somebody points out your mistake publicly, is that more embarrassing?
Yes.
Oh, man. That can make you angry. The case of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until the day of judgment, we are going to be reciting Abasa wa Tawalla. One instance of him frowning. And it's not just him, it must have been hard enough for him to recite it. He's reciting it, because now he knows that Allah Azza wa Jal was not happy with what happened. You know? But the fact that billions of people across generations are going to be reciting it and studying the issue. Tell me, if I've made a mistake and people are having a halaqah discussing my mistake, is that difficult to sit in on? People are sitting there talking about you? Is that easy to sit on? You would have to have no pride left inside you. And by the way, when someone has no pride of their own, they don't even own pride anymore, then they are abd. Then they're abd. This is part of what we're discussing in وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا. It's something very, very heavy. I have accepted the superiority of the word of Allah, and as a result, I have accepted my place as abd. I am nothing. I'm nothing. And then it becomes so easy for you to accept mistakes. It becomes easy for you to manage your pride. We can't get rid of our pride. It's this animal that lives inside of us that we have to keep protecting ourselves from. It comes out and bites every once in a while. This is why Allah says, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ. The greed and the pride inside of him. Whoever has been protected from the shuh that lies inside of themselves. فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. You know, this monster lives in you and it lives in me. And it'll come out. But this book has no crookedness, which means it'll fix our crookedness, right? That's why Qayyiman is coming. So this idea that we can't compromise the values of Allah's book, this idea that the Messenger ﷺ was actually the biggest demonstration of how this book is unadulterated, uncorrupted. Because so much of this book, even in this surah, it's coming later on. وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. You know, don't follow anybody else who doesn't even remember us. You know, you finally get a chance to talk to somebody important. Finally, it's not easy to get time with the mayor, get time with the president, get time with the minister, get time with the CEO. It's not easy to get that time. You finally get a time to talk to them, and Allah says, here's what you recite to them. They have no remembrance of Allah in their heart, and everything they do is evil. Just tell him to his face. The 2 seconds you get with him, tell him that. Musa alayhi salam is going to go to Fir'aun. He's going to go to a king. And he's supposed to... How you doing? Is my old room still there? I remember this place. Wow, you changed the throne. Wow, I didn't notice. That's a nice serpent tattoo. Or whatever, you know, it should be some small talk. He's going to walk right in and like, let the Israelites go if you know what's good for you. This is how you talk to a king when you walk in? Yep, when the words aren't up to you. When the words are not up to you. Now, thankfully, you and I are not in that position. We're not told what to say and when to say it. We just have the Quran. So we have the opportunity to be far more tactful in how we communicate, right? We choose what to say and what not to say because we were incapable of what the Messenger was capable of, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But that does not mean that when it comes to the values of this book, that we allow ourselves to deviate in the name of being kind and easy on people and letting them learn and letting them grow. They're growing right now. So what is haram is not that haram for them yet. What is evil, what is outright evil, is not that evil for them yet. We're weaning them off slowly. You know what? Even if you wean them off slowly, because change comes slowly, they should still know from the very beginning that what they're doing is wrong. You don't hide from people that what they're doing is wrong. Even if you don't expect them to change overnight. The values don't, you know, the values have no crookedness. By the way, do people become straight immediately? No. People being fixed takes time. Values, however, they are always straight. Our principles are always straight. So your softness is about how patient you are with people because they haven't changed. People say, I even told him the ayah, I told him the hadith, and he didn't change. He's still doing it. Really? He's still doing it? Oh. I'm surprised. Even after hearing dalil? Yeah, I told him like the dalil and he's still like not even listening. Okay, well, here's a problem with that. The best generation, the Sahaba, radiallahu anhu ajma'in, was there an alcohol problem? Did one ayah come down and it's over? Did one ayah come down? No. For alcohol, first Allah Azza wa Jal reveals that its harm, its evil is greater than its benefit. Then He reveals, at least don't be drunk when you what? When you pray. Then He finally says, it is an abomination from the work of the devil, رِجْسُ مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. It's an abomination from the work of the devil. Now please understand, folks, there are two kinds of haram. There's haram that is not necessarily evil, but it's not permissible. Like pigs are not shaitans. Contrary to Pakistani opinion, pigs are not evil. Like if you were a kid and you were watching like, you know, Bugs Bunny, and you know, what was the pig's name? Huh? Porky shows up. Porky shows up, your mom turns it to you. Suar dikha rahe hain, band karo usko. Like, pigs aren't haram. You can't eat them. But Allah still made them. It's Allah's creation. You understand? But Allah does not say pigs are an abomination from the work of the devil. But He does say that from what? About what? About alcohol. Which means it's always been an abomination. Even when Allah said, don't be drunk when you pray. Even when He didn't outright make it haram, it was still evil. It was still evil. But Allah Azza wa Jal revealed what, because He knew people can't handle getting off of it immediately. By the way, the most intelligent of the companions, when they heard it's got ithm in it, it's got sin in it, they actually left it immediately. But some who weren't strong enough, that doesn't take away the fact that that's not ithm. Because you know, bad translation, its harm is greater than its benefit. Have you heard that bogus translation before? Its harm is greater than... Where's harm? Where's dar? Where's dar in the ayah? Ithmuhuma akbaru min naf'ihima. Its sin is greater than its benefit. It's sin. So Allah immediately let us know that it's sinful. The value that it's sinful was immediately revealed. Allah didn't hide that. But still, because it's an addictive drug, people get hooked on it, they can't get off of it, it takes time to get off of it, Allah revealed more and more stronger injunction. But that it didn't hide the fact that in and of itself there's an ithm in it, there's an evil in it, there's something harmful in it, you see? So yeah, people will take time. When you give people advice and they don't change right away, like, hey, take it easy. Nobody changes right away. If that was the case, then there would be no concept of tarbiyah. There will be no concept of people actually getting better over time, becoming stronger over time. There will be no point in the messenger being given the example, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of the sahaba being compared to trees. Trees grew overnight? No. Everybody started as a seed. Then they eventually grew tall, you know. Then they became tall stalks, you know, tall, a farm that fully matures, where the stalk is taller than yourself. That happens over time. That takes a lot of work. So when people hear you say something, I told them and they didn't change, that actually means the problem is not with them, the problem is with you. You have much less right to say, I told them and they didn't even change, than Nuh alayhi salam. He has a lot more right to say that than you. You know, our frustration with people is actually a demonstration that we don't understand the difference between ideas being perfect but people not being perfect. Ideas of the Quran are perfect, people are not. And just because people aren't perfect, we're not willing to bend the ideas. But at the same time, we're not also expecting people to be perfect. We're going to allow people to get straight over time. قَيِّمًا. And that's why قَيِّمًا and not مُقِيمًا. We'll see that inshallah ta'ala tomorrow. So that's our conversation about the first ayah. Barakallahu li walakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim. Wa nafa'ani wa iyaakum bil ayat wa dhikr al-Hakim. I'll give you guys 5 minutes for questions. I've already taken 15 over.